Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Speaking of fight night, we're trying to avoid that by easing the tension with our two filmmakers in studio, Johnny Justice and Marie Justice. Those aren't stage names. Those are real blood names. Huh? Isn't that amazing? How
excellent
about that?
Names.
And that's cool, actually. And they made it. You've made a documentary called "Walk a Mile in Their Shoes," which is going to premiere September 27th at the Barrymore. And tell me about it. Welcome to the show, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing us on. I'm glad to be here.
And what was the goal going in?
We wanted to tell stories. We wanted to dispel stereotypes, to reveal our commonalities as human beings, and try to bring people together through that.
And so you took five, quote-unquote, marginalized individuals from those groups to tell their stories. We have Native American, right? We have transgender female, undocumented male, and Jewish wife. And we have a formerly homeless white guy. And a felon, former felon, African American.
Yep.
So what was the common bond, I guess, of all those different individuals?
I would say love and acceptance. Everybody wants to feel like they belong. Everybody wants to feel love, and everybody wants their basic needs met, like, you know, food, shelter, and that.
And to pursue happiness. I mean, whatever mm-hmm. success means for each of us, it varies, but everyone has those basic like needs that Johnny mentioned, and they deserve to be able to pursue them.
Do you have family members or friends who are opposite of you politically?
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
And so do you fight all the time, or do you talk to them, or...?
I don't think I'm not argumentative. I think the thing is finding middle ground and figuring. I love to have a well-rounded perspective, and that's kind of why we made that's exactly why we made the film. So if somebody has differing views, I want to hear your views. I want to hear exactly where you're coming from and why you believe that.
Because the only way you can solve problems is by asking questions and question and answer.
You can break the ice if you're nice to people, right?
Is absolutely, that the idea? Absolutely. You have to find middle ground, and you can't bang people over the head. You can't, you know, come with the I believe this and I don't want to hear you, this biased view.
Right. The veins pop, and
it might be okay to be wrong. I cherish a moment to be wrong, because that means I learned something.
Well, doing the show for years in various formats, I've had people on the right who think I'm a left winger, and I have progressives who think I'm a right winger.
Right.
I mean, it happens like every day, because people themselves are biased. And if you agree with them, you're not biased. If you don't agree with them, you're biased. Because they're not biased. They're just right.
Right.
Isn't that the way it is?
That's exactly how it is.
So you just kind of take it with a grain of salt. But when people get the veins popping and temple popping and turn red, then it doesn't do any good.
We're not hearing one another. We're not listening. We're not getting anywhere. So what's the point in doing that?
Yeah. I mean, but this judgment of people, I mean, are we quick to label now? I mean, because I just did a segment on it, but I think we're quick to label people, aren't we?
I think the funny thing is, like, when we talk about our film, is we obviously say the labels of each of these individuals. When you watch the film, we never mention, like, a name doesn't pop up for each person. And at the end of our first premiere, we premiered it at Madison Museum of Contemporary Art last November, and someone was like, I didn't know the names. And we purposefully did that so that you're not... These individuals could be you. This could be, you know, just so you could see them as a human at the end of the day, and that this is the same wants and needs that you have, rather than labeling them.
And that as a society, their problems are all of our problems.
Oh, sure. And the documentary is called Walk a Mile in Their Shoes. Johnny Justice and Marie Justice, and the number to call in is 210-1667. That's 210-1667 outside the Madison area, toll-free 844-34-MITCH. On a landline, which most people don't have. So 608-210-1667. So tell me about the background. Where are we from?
So I was born and raised in Joliet, Illinois.
Yeah, okay.
And I came to Madison now probably about 13 years ago.
Oh, give or take a few.
Yeah.
How about you, Marie?
I'm from, this will make him mad, I'm from California. I was born in California. Johnny always makes fun of me. Yeah,
well, I'm making him mad.
No, listen to him.
He'd be jealous.
He says, she was there for a year and came to Joliet. I was raised in Joliet, Illinois.
Oh, okay.
So.
You know, Joliet, as a kid, they would come to my hometown of the Colt World Series from Lafayette, Indiana. There's always a team from Joliet.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't there a ribs place from Joliet they talked about on a MASH episode?
Chicago.
It could have been a mythical. Oh, no, it was Chicago. The guy was from. Okay, I see.
Okay. Yep.
Anyway,
that's
so.
That's what you say. When you're from Joliet, you just say Chicago.
Chicago. Well,
just
nobody knows. Hey, isn't there a prison in Joliet?
Yep, they Blues, yeah. Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, Blue, where
they
did
filmed it there.
Where
remember
did
at the beginning of the movie when John Belushi
was
getting
out?
That was
that's our hometown.
Yeah.
Well, John Gotti was in a prison in Illinois. It was Marion.
Al Capone was too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, well, hey, California. We're in California. I'm just curious.
Vista, Oceanside. My dad was in the military, Camp Pendleton.
Oh, Vista. I'm not sure where Vista is, by the way.
It's Southern
Oceanside,
California. Yeah.
Oh, Southern. Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Now enjoy the winter. But so I think it's great that you're doing this. I mean, are you? Is this your first documentary?
Well, actually, yes. It started from an initiative called the Intentionally Welcoming Community Initiative. It's a mouthful. Intentionally Welcoming Community Initiative. And it basically asks the question, how welcoming are we to all people in our community?
Or what does it mean to be intentionally welcoming? Are we intentional in the things that we do? And which is a question that was posed in the sassy neighborhood, the Atwood, Shank, your heart.
Oh, well, sassy is a good word for that.
Mm-hmm.
I would, now, my stereotype of that neighborhood is that there would be intolerance toward anyone who would be conservative. Is that fair to say? I mean, I'm stereotyping, but that's
well,
a very progressive area.
It's kind of a laid back,
it's a progressive area. It's a white progressive area for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So you almost take pride in being as non-traditional, so to speak, in the.
But I will give them credit. They're the liberal types that are kind of willing to listen. They want to do something.
Yeah. I've spent many a night at the Harmony, and you know, I love that area. You know, it's always fun to. It's a nice neighborhood and by the lake or Obrick. But that's a vital place.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be at the Barrymore, which is right in the neighborhood.
So it's a full circle moment. The initiative started there. We came on and helped organize and take photos. And then Johnny heard more about the initiative, and he got this idea for the documentary.
Yeah.
We make the film, and now we're back.
Now, tell us how to get tickets or, you know, as a website. Go ahead and give that.
Go to Intentionally Welcoming Communities on Facebook to find out more about the film, showings, watch trailers. The website is not live, but the most important part is this is free and open to the public. There are no tickets needed. Show up, bring friends. The point of the film was to expose as many people to it as possible. We want to change perspectives, broaden perspectives, and so it's absolutely free.
And we had great sponsors, Outreach, Solidarity Realty, Community Shares, and FCI, Forward Community Investments.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like this kind of a libertarian's paradise, live and let live.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so true because we had a caller on my show for years who was a transgender female that was a regular caller. I did a column on her and her cause at one point. And once a column on homeless people who were on the medians of the roads with the signs.
Panhandling.
We'll work for food. And I had some interesting people I met. And the stories were all different, but, you know, they were all very compelling stories.
Yes.
But how often do we don't talk to people who have those signs. We just drive by them, you know. And
it's funny you say that. In our film, we actually did stop and talk to somebody who had a sign, and there you go, another interesting.
What street was it?
East Wash.
I was on the west side, but maybe one of my people went over to East Wash.
It's probably one of the hardest gut-wrenching parts in the film. It's just so raw and real.
Oh, God. And, I mean, the stories were amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was true in your case, too.
Yeah, it was tough.
One woman on Verona Road and Raymond Road, and she had worked at one point as a McDonald's manager, quit because her father was sick, mother was dead, dad died. She quit, couldn't get back to be a manager again. I just want to be an attendant.
Mm.
I can make more money out here. So, I mean, come on. I mean, you think about it, you know.
Yeah.
And I go, why do you shower? Well, I have friends drive me to the YWCA, or I live in a tent off Nesbitt Road, and, you know.
But when you think about people that live like that, like, would I particularly want to live like that? Is that living to me? You know, everybody has their own, you know, tolerance and something that's not going to stop just because there is something out there for you, a resource for you to use or whatever. That's not going to stop me from being ambitious and wanting to.
No. You wonder, well, what's the solution? And we can argue about it. But I guess, you know,
let them hang out in the road.
You work
and get
as
money,
an attendant and you make X. So you got to pay rent and, you know, rents are high.
I think the best way to put it is it's expensive being poor.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Isn't it?
Yes.
It's a tough.
And the management of, quote, poor people is political and there are all kinds of bureaucrats and maybe that whole thing needs to be reorganized. But we'll see how that goes.
I think we don't have I don't have the answer to everything. I don't know that anybody does.
Either.
But I think it's important to hear where people are coming from and at least listen. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree totally. Johnny Justice, Marie Justice, the documentary. I still invite your calls at 210-1667, 210-1667. Walk a mile in their shoes. And it seems to me like the lack of judgment doesn't mean you can't have opinions and beliefs. But if you're judging someone else as unacceptable, then we have no chance, right? We can't even talk.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I have the stereotype of the angry grandfather, father of a, you know, who just says, I don't want to, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is a stereotype. But sometimes older men don't like to open up, let's face it, right?
Oh, yeah. So once we get stuck in our ways and we're not still
learning. Not just older men. But
people in general.
Yeah,
once we get stuck in our ways and we're not in that still learning process where you have these open minds, it's difficult to cross that barrier.
I mean, it was funny. This last political season, I went from like a Democrat to a Bernie-crat to a pretty much anarchist in one political
one fell swoop.
Yeah. So.
I care about people at the end of the day, and that's the that's the truth. I'm sure everyone feels like that, but I'm not worried about the politics of it, which I think the definition of politics is what people. But we get these.
It's just a big word for how people interact with each other. Politics.
Yeah, and so I'm worried about other people and their concerns and.
And so much of our lives is governed by our economics, too, right? I mean, how much money we have in the pocket or in the bank or whatever.
Because the first thing when you talk about somebody, usually the next thing that comes up is their net worth. And then
what do you do?
What is
it? What do you do?
What do you do for a living?
Mm-hmm. You know, and I have to tell you, maybe that's why I have an ex-wife, but, you know, some people are human doings. Mm-hmm. They do every minute. So they're doing something.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to human beings. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to watch this video on Frank Sinatra. I'm going to read this book on Joe DiMaggio. Well, that doesn't work with a lot of wives. Mm-hmm. You know? Hey, I've got a list of things you should be doing. Oh, well, I want to do this. You know? And so then you find yourself single. I'm not going to give advice on relationships, I promise. You know, actually, we're just a fascinating conversation. Mm-hmm. Johnny Justice, Marie Justice, the documentary, Walk a Mile in Their Shoes, September 27th at the Barrymore. We'll talk about it more and the other things to discuss in a moment. I'm getting hope that I could maybe, you know, find a relationship before I die. Who knows? We'll see. I have to listen more and not watch Sinatra videos and go to the store. This is The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
At Troy Research, we understand that success is determined by your customers. To realize the greatest success possible, you need to understand what they want and why. Your customers have opinions to share with you. As researchers, our assignment is to gather those opinions, illuminate the issues, and shed the light of understanding on decision-making. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research at 608-271-8884 or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rayl.
I did work with another realtor, and I had the house on the market for close to a year before Tim stepped in. With Tim, my house was sold in 4 months. Tim Rayl had so much more to give. Tim was always there and accommodated my schedule.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rayl of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
I would recommend Tim Rayl any day.
Tim Rayl, 698-7653.
Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years, whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room. I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
I am enjoying so much our interview here with Johnny Justice, Marie Justice. I didn't mean to say man and wife. Am I assuming that? Or are we,
yeah,
just,
we are, yeah. No,
again, could be just good friends. I don't want to
stare. Better half.
Didn't meet in the parking lot, I'll tell you that right now. So, but no, that's fantastic. And they've done a documentary, Walk a Mile in Their Shoes, taking people that are, quote, from marginalized populations, transgender female and undocumented Mexican male, mm-hmm, with a Jewish wife, mm-hmm, who's white. Yeah. A Native American man and a formerly homeless white man. Mm-hmm. By the way, how's he doing now? Is he working? Or?
So the story behind that is he got involved with the Occupy Madison movement.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's right.
And from the Occupy Madison movement, you know, these they were protesting, you know, the Wall Street.
Yes.
And they're the longest standing Occupy movement in the country. Actually, but then, you know, the people who came, there's two different groups. There's the people who came there for the political protests, and there's the homeless people who came there because there was a community there and a place to stay.
Hang out, yeah.
Yeah.
They were the most marginalized.
And so from that, when it all kind of died down, the people decided, like, you know, we can't unknow what we know. We've built friendships. We, yeah, know these people. So then they're like, what do we do? A handful,
well,
how's of
people. How's he doing now? Is he
great?
He lives in the tiny homes on East Johnson. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar,
yeah,
with those?
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm, the Occupy Madison
headquarters.
Village.
Yeah,
oh,
village.
Sure, yeah.
And so that from that movement came the tiny homes. And
they're
Gene
self-sustaining. They have a greenhouse. They have a workshop, a wood shop.
They sell their
products. They sell products. They have a garden.
What's kind of going on now? Huh?
Gene is immensely talented. He's an artist. He can build things. He can draw. He can,
oh,
do
great,
anything. Play guitar.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's that challenge in monetizing your skills,
oh, sure,
right?
I mean, yeah.
And that's capitalism, but hey.
But actually, that's not even it. He's also a computer programmer. So, mm-hmm, like,
he's got all kinds, yeah, of.
So he was working homeless. That's, mm-hmm, we want to point that out. Gene,
working homeless.
Gene,
yeah,
had a job. There's a poignant story he tells in there. He says one morning he woke up. He was living out of his car, and he gets out and he looks at the other guy who's living in his car right down the road. And, yeah, the guy gets out and straightens out his tie. And he looked at him and thought, he's doing the exact same, mm-hmm, thing I'm doing.
I passed out in my car when I was working with the Attorney General. I'll tell the truth now. But you couldn't drive drunk or you'd get fired.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's different, obviously. But hey, and you, what about the undocumented Mexican male? How long has, mm-hmm, he been in the country?
Ray came when he was 13 years old.
So, to New York City.
Yeah, so he's been 20 plus years.
20 plus years.
Yeah.
And now his, what was his message?
Go ahead, Johnny.
He lives in the shadows? Or?
Well, no. Well, yeah. It's like, well, they're, he's an immensely talented guy, great guy, has a wonderful family, and he's limited by his status. You know, he can't get a better job to help his family thrive. And
Ray works 80-plus hours a week.
80 hours a week.
He's, again, like Johnny said, he's the jack of all trades. I mean, the guy can fix anything, make anything. He's yeah, very talented.
Hard worker,
and he's very limited. And so, no, Ray's been here for 20-plus years. He has 5 kids. They have a beautiful family, but they can't get a house. They can't reach higher.
He can't get Social Security someday, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. He can't move up in jobs or do the real jobs that he's capable of doing because of that.
Yeah. And when you come at 13, you're a minor.
Yeah.
So,
and he was in New York City pushing those, like, you know, you see those guys with the carts, the ice cream carts. You think, they're just making some money for themselves.
Sure.
No, it's a whole big operation that they put them to work. And he was sleeping in like a hallway, actually, in New York.
Kind of. They have these big
apartment buildings where they house people. And
sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your transgender woman, you said she was married to someone for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's that story?
Darla's got a really deep story. Darla is so brave and courageous. She was married for 30 years, had 3 children, and a Vietnam veteran. And one day she said it was either I stop living, I take my life, or I live in my truth. And that was the turning moment for her.
I'm who I am.
Yeah.
You know, I just love the honesty of people who change their status. And parts of the country are more tolerant than others. Let's face it, California would be a place where you'd be more tolerant of that. And Madison, too.
We also have a black male felon who runs a men's group here in Madison. And he is incredible and brave. And he opened up our eyes, too, to some of the poignant things that he says in the documentary. He was actually in prison for 17 years for a sexual assault. And so those are those taboo things where you're like, oh, you know, this is
that's a hard one to talk
about.
Yes,
exactly.
One
thing he pointed out that really struck a chord with me was that he said these are people that if they're back in our society, we want to make sure that they're the healthiest and that they're getting the help that they need at the end of the day because they're here. And that really helped open up our minds and our perspective of instead of ostracizing people. Actually making sure that they
did
are.
Did he say that he was maybe violent as a youth and he's evolved?
He's got a backstory, so you have to come watch the film. But yes,
he has a backstory.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, in his particular crime, it's as he points out, it wasn't one of those violent hide and find a victim crimes or anything like that. It's
maybe an age thing.
It was both of them were adult age, and he's saying that he didn't.
One person saying one thing, another person saying
another. But he has a backstory too that is good to hear.
Mm-hmm. You know, there always is a backstory, isn't there? Mm-hmm.
And then that's why the tagline of the movie is once you hear someone's story, how could you not care?
Yeah. So.
Well, how would you feel about that Wall Street banker with the 3-piece suit? Are you going to listen to his backstory?
Everybody has a story.
I think that's the best part. Johnny and I are such curious people, and I think at the end of the day, we all are. And so, yeah, I love to hear people's stories and find out where do you come from, what motivates you, what makes you click.
Is there something I can learn from you?
Yeah.
Well, I talked to a guy like that who's 80 years old who owns half the downtown. You might know him, and he said, yeah, when I was a kid, I wanted money. I wanted it bad. So by the time he was 30, he had like 20 grand or 20. No, by the time he was 20, he had like 10 grand. You know, some people.
Ambitious.
Can you introduce me to him?
I'm sure he'd love to talk to you. But, I mean, a lot of people when we're young, we don't think about that kind of thing. You know,
Yeah, no.
And I'm now 55, just learning maybe I should have saved more money when I was 25, you know.
It's all about changing your perspective, and that's what we want to do with the film. We want people to come in, okay, you have this opinion right here, and we want you to gain perspective over here. So we want you to marry these two and see where you fall at the end.
Well, it's fantastic. I really do. And, of course, if we don't talk to each other, and treat each other with respect and patience. I mean, we're in big trouble because we're about as divided now as we were since the late 60s when I was a kid. And that was bad. It was violent, and there were fire bombs and riots, a lot of riots and bombings. But now we just have this cold, emotional division, right? I mean, families can't talk. And
everybody's in their cell phone.
Couples and... Oh, yeah, and they're on their phones.
You got to bridge those gaps, and this is one of the best tools. We actually co-teach a class at Edgewood College using our documentary, an excerpt from the documentary.
Wow, good for you.
And it really works well to open up the dialogue, the conversation, and to get people thinking. It's such a perfect tool. We're not banging people over the head. We're just showing someone's truth, and then you have an your opinion.
Well, how often do we even say hello to people anymore? Because they're listening to the music on their phone, mm-hmm. and you can't see the earbuds or you can't see the Bluetooth or whatever it is. You can't even know they're listening to somebody, and you don't know they are.
Yeah.
So you talk to them, and they just ignore you because they're listening.
That happened to us the other day. We were driving down downtown, and we saw someone we know. We're like, hey, and they had earphones on.
They already listened to us
in their own world.
If you look at a photo of somebody in Venice on a gondola, you know, on the boat, they're all looking at their phone. I saw that.
Really?
Oh, yeah, there were like eight people.
Oh, no.
Or if you watch people on TV at a ball game, the Brewer game, they're all just looking at their phones at the game. You think, well, why did you go to the game?
I know.
Don't you? You go to probably one game in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean. It was a really cool thing. My old man, growing up in Illinois, we would catch the train from Joliet to Chicago.
Oh, how fun is
go.
That? Huh?
And that was before they had lights at Wrigley, so we would always go in.
Yeah.
And my dad would give us a scorecard, and it was a.
We were more engaged with one another and paying attention. I think, and perhaps it's. It's a good. This is a great tour or film to get back to that where we're
And somehow we had more time, didn't we? In the past, we had meals together, but now it's like go to work, go to the health club, but don't talk to each other. And
our attention spans are so much shorter. Hurry up and get this information. Everything's like fast now. How quick can we get it? And
I'm old now, but where do people meet now? Still bars, and that's what it was when I was a kid. But
so right wingers, left wingers, all come together and watch this film, and we'll have a talk back afterwards.
Yes.
I want to see that guy with a 3-piece suit who works at the bank to go to this movie, this documentary.
Invite him. All are welcome. It's free.
Free.
And that would be fun to see that. Walk a mile in their shoes, meaning somebody other than yourself, by the way. And I talked to a guy the other night, didn't like Isaiah Thomas, guard for the Celtics who traded the Cavaliers. I love Isaiah. He didn't like his tattoos. He didn't like his tattoos. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
I go, what? I just don't know what to say about that. I don't even notice that. It's like the movie Good Will Hunting. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had neighbors who were twice a week to church, very fundamentalist Christians. I said, hey, you want to watch this movie? It's not due till tomorrow. And they watched it. And what did you think? They said, could have done it without the language. And I said, language? I didn't notice there was bad language. They did.
Right.
So, you know, you got to know who you're talking to, folks.
Respect.
Anyway, the documentary, Walk a Mile in Their Shoes, Johnny Justice, Marie Justice, good luck. And again, quickly say, not a website, but the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Intentionally Welcoming Communities on Facebook.
Intentionally Welcoming Communities on Facebook. And you can find out all about it, but it's September 27th,
Wednesday.
7 p.m. at the Barrymore, Wednesday night. Thank you both for coming out. I love the conversation. And Michael Cummins on Charlie Sykes and his turmoil over Trump next. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is known to be one of the top 3 comedy clubs in the country. We handle it right because of the details. If you want to experience that yourself, MadisonComedy.com. I can't say that enough. You can get links to our text club where you can get free tickets.
For a list of upcoming comedy club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience, working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
We're back already? Michael, come on in here. We're slow in saying goodbye to our former guest. And now we say hello to our new guest, Michael Cummins, right? It's Cummins, not Cumming. Cummins. And who's kind of a libertarian, is that right? Libertarian conservative, maybe? Is that, what are we going to label you as, Michael?
I'd label myself as libertarian. I guess if it's only between conservative and liberal, I'm conservative. But if we can break it down further than that, libertarian.
How about if we say libertarian conservative? Is that too much?
That's fine with me.
All right. So, and you wrote a piece in Isthmus, and Charlie Sykes, who's a famous longtime conservative talk show host in Milwaukee, was on the cover, and you wrote a piece about him, as he has always been a never-Trumper. And he, somebody used the phrase on a recent show, homeless Republican, homeless conservative. And I guess that's Charlie. But for years, he was considered a conservative host who would always help the Republican causes in Wisconsin and so forth. But here he is now breaking. Is that why he's off the air, Michael?
Well, it's a little bit of a complicated story to untangle. I won't bore your audience with it. But he says that he decided sometime in 2015 to go off the air. Now, at that point, including him, pretty much no one thought that Donald Trump was going to be president. So, what does he say? I saw him say somewhere that it helped him. It helped hurry him off the air. Trump's success.
Well, I heard it happened to the guy up in Green Bay too. I'm trying to think of the guy's name, but he was a never Trumper. He was up in Green Bay.
Jerry Bader.
Yeah. And I think the same thing happened to him. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
But so what happened was, and you know this, and I'm sure Charlie does too, there was a choice between a very flawed candidate in Donald Trump or Hillary. And so with that comes an agenda, with that comes the Supreme Court, with that comes tax policy and foreign policy and so forth. And so people decided that was the choice. Mm-hmm. So when Charlie's confronted with that, what does he say?
He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. People all around him did it. People all around him went
Well, no, see, he didn't care if the court was more liberal and taxes were higher. In other words, those things didn't bother
him. Well, I wouldn't say that he didn't care or it didn't bother him. The way he always puts it is, what is selling one's soul worth? Is it worth a Supreme Court seat? You know, is it worth
You are putting selling your soul, or you're holding onto your soul, higher than those things.
Correct.
Obviously.
Yes, and he did make that decision, as did I. But yeah,
And you've heard people who say, well, you know, God chooses flawed people to do these mm-hmm. things that, you know, because he's doing, Trump is the best right now with evangelicals of all the groups.
Amazing.
He's up around 70%.
Amazing.
Well, but they wanted the court. They wanted
yes.
Judge Gorsuch.
Yeah. There's an amazing statistic, and I won't get it exactly right, but Charlie does talk about it in his new book, that back in 2011, 30-some percent of evangelical conservatives said that it was okay for a morally flawed person to be president. Only about 30%. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that number was in late 2016? Can you guess?
Much, much higher, yeah.
That's some 70-some percent.
But now, what about the charge that, you know, Charlie, and I'm just picking on him, but I mean, who is he? Is he like one of the disciples, or is he for St. Francis of Assisi? I mean, what's going on here? Don't live in a glass house.
Yeah. Oh, no, he has very much, and I'm not here. I hopefully wrote a very balanced story.
He was accused by so many of your piece of doing what's best for him.
Yes. Oh, very much so. And it's not like there is evidence for that, Mitch. There really is. If you look at the track of his life, he has flip-flopped on ideology more than once. He's gone back and forth, as a matter of fact.
Back and forth.
Yeah, back
and
forth.
So it's not a question of evolving as much as...
No, it's not. It's not. He does not have a completely clean history. He is a flawed messenger.
But he always wears a button-down shirt. I've noticed that about Charlie.
Dresses very sharply.
You know, he doesn't. You know, he never wears a golf shirt or a bowling shirt. And you won't see a polo. It's always a button-down shirt.
Yep.
So he really cares. Now I see him on MSNBC with Rachel Maddow. I mean, he's really gone to the other side on these TV appearances.
Well, they're the only people who will have him would be, you know, and again, I'm not making excuses, but he is not.
He won't. So Fox won't have him on, probably.
Fox has had him on, I believe, once in the past year.
Yeah.
And I'm quite sure that he would happily go on Fox if they invited him. However,
yeah.
He is reveling a bit, though, Mitch, in the fact that he is getting these new markets, you know, the New York Times, MSNBC, WNYC. You know, to him, he's always
on the march. He's on the march.
Yeah, he's always wanted to open up these. I mean, this was his big complaint with the liberal media is they did not let people like him on. So he's thrilled.
Well, he's got a market. Oh, no, they love him because he hates Trump. So they're, you know,
that's
he fills
the,
you know,
that's the flip side. I mean, it takes away some of the, like, why do they not have, why does MSNBC not often have a pro-Trump version of Charlie on?
Right.
I think we both know the answer to that.
Of course, ironically, that's been Alan Dershowitz, in a sense, because Dershowitz, who voted for Hillary and gave money to Hillary, has been saying there are no crimes yet in the Russia thing. So in that sense, Alan Dershowitz has been pro-Trump.
Defending him in certain indiscreet situations.
Legally, right. So, you know, yes. Not politically. But on this question of Trump's flaws, I mean, he wouldn't be the first, Mike. I mean, JFK, you know, had a large stable of women he would have sex with, and we had FDR. We had, you know, we've had Eisenhower with his army nurse. We've had a lot of people who are less than saints in the White House.
Yeah, I'm quite sure. And
Bill
Clinton,
the last time I checked, was a bit of a rogue.
I would say I think Bill Clinton is, and I don't want to make. I think that in all likelihood, Bill Clinton has crossed the line into sexual assault in his life.
I mean,
yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
So I mean, so to say that we don't like Trump because he was a dog or he was a bad boy. I mean, you know.
Well, for speaking purely for me, I actually don't mind the bad boy thing. Every politician is flawed. Some of them very, very flawed. The thing with Donald Trump, I think, is with these other politicians, I at least even politicians I didn't like Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, flawed people. I, however, never worried about their judgment in terms of making some sort of disastrous decision. Donald Trump, however,
well, I did. The Telecommunications Act of 1996 ruined radio. Bombing those cruise missiles, we took out a formula factory, and he's trying to act tough. But we'll stop there.
Yeah, and Nixon bombed Cambodia. Yeah, I know. I guess I'm talking apocalyptically. Bad decisions, like existentially.
Well, if you talk to a radio DJ out there who was in music for 20 years and went away after Clear Channel bought up 800 stations, they would call that.
They would say 1996.
They would say that was apocalyptic. Well, everybody has their issues, right? But again, I mean, so Trump, you know, he's a guy who has a lot of rough flaws and edges that are very, very rough. But is he the Antichrist? I mean, is he? You know, Machiavelli. I mean, you know, has he audited Morning Joe yet or Mika? I mean, if they send IRS agents into their basement. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did send agents into the bedroom of Paul Manafort.
Yeah, they picked his lock.
And his wife was in the bedroom. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's in the Trump administration. Of course, that's, you know, his
Well, Trump's
enemies.
Not in charge of that little portion of his administration.
No.
To be fair.
And they're trying to get Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you know, he's not the Antichrist. I mean, he hasn't sent He hasn't sent troops into a sovereign country in the Middle East yet.
That we know of.
I mean, at least, you know, 150,000 troops. I mean, I'm sure we have troops on the ground in Iraq, but we did it under Obama. You know what I'm saying here?
He hasn't had a major land invasion.
So when you talk about his unacceptable behavior, you're talking about the temperament, the you know, coarse, rough language of a Mexican judge. What are we talking about? Or are we talking about something more apocalyptic?
I would say more apocalyptic, and I'm not necessarily talking nuclear war or anything like that. I do hate the behavior, the day-to-day behavior.
Oh, yeah.
I do absolutely hate that.
But what's the apocalyptic
It's
action.
The absolute unpredictability. I absolutely do not trust his judgment or his actions. And he is not only the most powerful person in the world right now, he's the most powerful person possibly
and you
ever.
Don't trust it because of his scattered behavior with Twitter or his jocular remarks. Is that it?
That's it. He has all the earmarks. I'm in my mid-40s, Mitch. I have met a lot of people who are unstable, who are erratic, who do things that come out of left field and are very scary. He has all the earmarks of a person like that, in my personal judgment.
Well, let's take a couple of examples. I mean, the lead up to the Iraq War with, you know, and Richard Pearl and Douglas Feith and Paul Wolfowitz and Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld all telling us about the hundreds of tons of chemical and biological weapons. Was that stable behavior?
That's a good point. I would say, yes, it was stable behavior. It was extremely flawed behavior. And even at the time, I've condemned those people.
See, I don't think Trump has done anything quite like that yet.
He has not yet. I will concede that.
I don't think he has. We'll come back with more, though, with Mike. I'm just being contrarian. What can I tell you? I always try to challenge the guest. Nothing hostile. The Mitch Hanks Show at MadisonTalks.com.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center. Gunderson Funeral Home.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, will cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Hague.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How big or how small a case will you take on?
I've helped all sorts of people over the years, from very small cases up to multi-million-dollar cases. We do try to be selective in the cases that we handle as a matter of economics and devoting the proper time that I can to a case. We do advise some people that if their case is small enough, they may be better off handling it themselves. Not everyone needs a lawyer. Sometimes it's not in their best interest to have a lawyer, and I've told many people over the years that your case is of modest enough value that I think you're better off handling this yourself. So it's only when we think we can make a meaningful difference in the outcome for them that we're willing to accept their case.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Now we're talking to Michael Cummins here with his piece in Isthmus, the cover story on Charlie Sykes' inside account of the right-wing crack-up. Charlie Sykes, a longtime conservative talk show host who broke with Trump, a never-Trumper, and trying to recapture what the soul of the party. I will say this, the party is a part on major things like health care and tax reform. Well, Trump or no Trump, they don't have the votes to pass those things. So what's the future of the party?
Oh, Mitch, I wish...
I mean, Trump doesn't vote in the Senate or the House.
No, and he, there is words that behind the scenes he's doing a little bit more. He is working the phones on tax reform. He seemed for a long time completely disconnected with what was going on in Congress. He basically seemed to say, hey, that's your job, you know, not realizing.
But he counted votes better than Ryan, though, because Ryan couldn't get it passed, and then Trump got into it and told McCarthy, here are the 12 names you got to call. So in the sense of counting votes, Trump did better than Ryan.
House. In the end, to get that past the House, the first time. I don't know, Mitch. You know, it is his approval rating has ticked up, as you might have seen.
Because he dealt with the Democrats on the debt ceiling.
Is it maybe? I mean, is that what you think it was?
I'm sure it was. He got all kinds of good press.
He did get good press, but he also had got good press for his hurricane response. You know, could have been that.
Well, okay. Here's the thing about Trump, and you can react. I mean, to me, Trump is either evil or he's just unsophisticated when he talks about things. Like when he said he was pro-life, he'd never been pro-life in his life. Nope. And they asked him pro-life questions, should there be punishment for the mother? And he went, yes, I think there ought to be. I mean, but then an hour later, they changed it because he didn't know what to say.
Yeah, someone told him that was the wrong answer.
I think he doesn't know what to say. And so he says things that are not sophisticated or rooted in political knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's that, and then there's evil. So, I mean, which is it? I mean, because people who hate Trump think he's evil.
No, I don't think he's evil.
And I think he's a guy, you know, I think he's a guy who's very politically unsophisticated.
Yeah, I think he's that. I don't think that he's evil anymore. And I'm not saying he is a five-year-old child, but I don't think he's any more evil than a young kid is, who, you know, isn't necessarily in full control.
He's emotionally immature.
Yes.
Just like Bobby Knight was. I lived through Bobby Knight, Woody Hayes, Bo Schembechler. I mean, these are people who are brilliant in many cases, but they are emotionally 5 years old.
Yes.
And that was true of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They might have won all kinds of victories and, you know, championships.
As Trump has.
As he has too, right? Exactly. So we're talking about emotional intelligence.
I think you could distill it down to that, yeah.
And in terms of intellectual, I think there's the emotional impatience which prevents you from doing the third and fourth page of the memo or reading the book that would give you that historical perspective. Trump saw the riot. They saw two sides fighting in Charlottesville. He didn't see the boxcars going to Poland to Auschwitz, or he didn't see the decades of lynchings by the Klan. He just saw two groups fighting. He goes, oh, they're fighting both sides. Well, you know, again, that shows his, I guess, lack of interest in the historical question.
Yeah, from which, and if you have that lack of interest, you lack context to put it in proper perspective.
Yes, and I'm hearing now these people who are telling me that Antifa was around 40 years ago, I'm hearing all this stuff about the communists revisited and all this stuff. And frankly, I never heard of them until Charlottesville. I'm not discounting the, I'm open to the history, folks. I'm open to the history. And I can say there's anarchist, it's an anarchist group in the sense that a lot of people speak. And the woman had the mace into the face of that woman in Berkeley. I mean, that's not a civil act.
No, it's a criminal act.
So I'm open to that. But I think in the beginning there was a shock at his lack of historical perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Which in a person is not a bad thing. I have plenty of friends who are not. That's absolutely fine as a person. But he's the president.
And no, I
actually don't hold him
responsible. No, and I got a lot of his defenders and enemies of the quote anarchist left. And I fought for a week on Facebook and in emails, and it got nasty. Mm-hmm. So I finally said, well, look, they see it differently.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it got a little nasty.
Yeah,
but that's what happens with families now and couples and friends. I mean, you know, we've talked about this.
We have talked about this. That's an incredible shame.
So what if Donald Trump, what would Charlie say? What if Donald Trump ends up dealing with Democrats and getting DACA passed and getting some kind of health care done and all that and starts to change his behavior in terms of his public pronouncements? Which may not happen, but if that happened, would Charlie Sykes give him credit for it? Or
I can't speak for Charlie on that. He and I never talked directly about that. I think that he would give him credit, you know, where credit's due. In the amount of time that I've spent talking to Charlie and researching him, I strongly doubt there's any chance whatsoever that he will ever be a Donald Trump supporter, unless Donald Trump becomes a different person.
Well, you know, it would have to be like roller derby. Remember roller derby as a kid on cable? There would be a villain one day, and so you'd hate, and then the villain would turn into a hero. I remember the L.A. T-Birds on Sunday night on cable, Dave Pound. Anyway, but it's almost like professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. They would have to go from the villain, because in a way, I like Chuck and Nancy. Yeah, I got to deal with Chuck and Nancy. Well, then Nancy goes out and gets shouted down out in California.
Yep.
Because she dealt with Trump.
For dealing with Trump. That's the way things are now, Mitch. That's our politics.
I mean, it's like the roller derby.
And I'm not blaming Donald Trump for that. I think Donald Trump is probably a symptom more than a cause of that kind of thing. But yeah, you work with somebody of the opposite party, you get yelled at.
But I'm curious though, Charlie and his opposition to Trump is separate from John McCain and Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins not voting with their Republican conservative colleagues on health care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and John McCain have nothing to do with Trump's vulgarity. I mean, that's an ideological thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how Charlie would feel about them.
He and I never talked directly about that. I think that how he would feel about them would... I think that what he would say is, if they were voting their conscience, then that's great. If they were doing that to spite Trump, however, and I would agree with it. That's a conspiracy theory you and I could talk about. Why McCain put the thumbs down. I think he might have been doing it to save his fellow Senate Republicans. But that's me maybe going down a rabbit hole. I don't know. But I would say that probably both Charlie and I think I would say that if you do something that hurts the American people just to spite Donald Trump, that's not cool. That is not a that's not a responsible use of your Senate.
Well, that would be a vengeful act.
A vengeful act that hurts
but,
the
but
American
But Trump
people.
Did say McCain was captured, and he likes people that don't get captured.
Mitch,
and we know
day?
McCain has a temper. Let's face it. I mean, he plays hardball. I mean, come on.
I think that served two things. Yes, it was McCain's revenge on Trump for that, but it also made it so that people like Ted Cruz, who is facing re-election very soon, Jeff Flake, who is facing re-election next year, Dean Heller who's facing re-election next year, they didn't have to stand by that vote. I think Dean Heller might have voted against it anyway, but
no, Heller didn't. I think Murkowski, Collins, McCain,
but Heller voted yes.
Yeah, he did.
But this saved him because now Heller did not have to go back to Nevada and face a successful.
Well, they got
to
vote again pretty soon here in the next week.
Yeah. It might be McCain might
we're
not
back
be able
to square
him
one. Yeah. You know, and they're like 48 or 49. Oh, sorry, again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing control of motor functions. I'm sorry, Michael, on the air.
Don't be.
By the way, we're maybe getting a call from Max Hosking, who's the state open champion, talking about Monona Golf Course. They want to sell Monona Golf Course and. We opened the show with that, and
I've
you
seen
may
that.
Have an opinion on that, Michael.
As I recall, I think you did a 2 minutes. You're not for that.
I did a two minutes with Mitch. That's all they give me is 2 minutes. So apparently that's all I need.
But I notice you take more than that sometimes. I look down at my thing. It's like two minutes and 50 seconds. I'm like,
well, that's rare, but only when I'm just wildly on a rant will I go that long. But we got to tell you. By the way, we live in a world of the phone and 10 years of the iPhone and all that. I'm an Android, but things are so trendy in terms of the conspiracy. You mentioned the conspiracies. I got more hits, video hits, on the Stephen Avery case in Manitoba. I had 3,300 hits on one. I did one the next day. I had 3,000 hits on that, the Stephen Avery case, which was a Netflix series. And the most hits I ever had, second to that, would have been maybe 1,200. So, you know, what are people into? I mean, people are into these scandals.
Well, especially the Stephen Avery. It's not just that it's a scandal. It's an incredibly intriguing story.
It is. Would you call that a scandal? Call it a scandal. Call it a, Real? What do they have those series? Real TV or super dramas. I mean, it's not acting. It's real. You know, what do you call that, Mike?
Reality TV.
It was reality TV. Mm-hmm. It's what it was. You know, the guy is, you know, he served all. So that's what people are into. And you could have had something on Donald Trump or Charlie Sykes or JFK and, you know, the missile crisis. It wouldn't have done as well as the Stephen Avery.
Probably thing. Not. I have friends who are totally non-political. They don't pay attention to the news. They very much know who Stephen Avery is. They have an opinion on the case. People who don't have a political opinion on anything.
Right.
But they have an opinion they as to know whether Stephen Avery is guilty or not guilty.
Well, years ago, my sister was not really into sports, and the Cubs were, and Harry Carey was still the announcer of the Cubs, who was a character, you know. Here's the pitch! You know, I had a Budweiser.
I grew up outside Chicago, Mitch.
Well, she knew who Harry Carey was, but she might not have known who Pat Summerall was, or, you know, some famous sports guy, you know. Or Dick Enberg, but she knew Harry Carey.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, we're kind of in a world of... And Trump comes from the world of entertainment.
Yes.
And so you wonder if we're going to have another person in 2020 who's an entertainer.
Did you hear, not quite an entertainer, do you hear Anthony Scaramucci has been making noise about running for president?
The mooch, man. I don't see it, but hey.
Oh, but part of me wants the entertainment
But that was can't-miss TV, though. I'll tell you that right now.
Absolutely. It'd be very, very entertaining, but the last time I was entertained by a campaign, it ended up with Donald Trump being president, so, you know.
Hey, Kanye West has talked about it, right? The Rock has talked about it, the wrestler, you know, the whole thing. I mean, come on. I mean, who knows?
Kid Rock running for Senate?
Well, and also our boy with Facebook, right? You know, the smart guy. Well, I can't think of names. Am I losing it here? The founder of Facebook.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Right. He was eating at State Street Brats a couple months ago on his big tour. That's right.
Really, was he?
Yeah, there's a picture of him eating at State Street Brats.
Well, he's talking about running for office. And for who knows? You know, you could run. You know, write a few more of these columns and these articles.
Yeah, that's the problem is I now have a record of all my opinions in print. Any opponent could pull one out and say, what about this?
So Michael Cummins' article, the Isthmus cover on Charlie Sykes, go to isthmus.com/topics/Michael-Cummins. And if you can't remember that, go to my Facebook page, the Mitch Hank personal Facebook page, Twitter at Mitch Hank. Michael, we appreciate it very much.
Hey.
I'd say something vulgar here for all your Trump fans out there to kind of close the show, but I can't do that. I'm not drunk, so. You almost have to be drunk to say some of those things, don't you? I mean.
Well, Donald Trump doesn't drink, so.
He doesn't drink, right? Yeah. Maybe he's a dry drunk.
Yeah.
Or he could say, believe me. That I can tell you. We'll have to destroy North Korea if they don't behave. And by the way, people are starving there because Kim Jong-un eats all the food. Now, you can get this show on MadisonTalks.com, Facebook Live. We thank Bob Keller for the space here in West Wash, and he's got all his properties to check out. Go to KellerApartments.com, KellerApartments.com. Wide World of Radio is next with Bob Abella. See you next week.